Genesis 22, we'll read the first 18 or 19 verses, well-known chapter. And it came to pass after these, when he met Abimelech, the God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love and good of Maya, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, stay here, important verse this, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the knife in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him. Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on in order. And he bound Isaac and his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. The Lord will provide, or the alternative reading is the Lord will see to it. Verse 14. It's also in verse 14 the symbol of the place, Mount Moriah. Because there the Lord did provide. It's interesting that this ram was caught in a thicket by its horns. It was going to be a perfect sacrifice. But if it was caught by its wool, or scarred its very flesh and caused blood, it would have been totally unfit for sacrifice. So there it was caught by the horns, and therefore it was without any blemish. So this tremendous test for Abraham concerning Isaac and the sacrifice, potentially, of Isaac, it involves certainly a tremendous faith, that we can appreciate that, to believe that God would raise Isaac to life. You can see that as emphasized in verse 5. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder in worship, and we will come back to you. Now this is confirmed particularly in Hebrews chapter 11 about the tremendous heroes of faith. Would you go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me, please? Just a few verses there. Hebrews 11 and verses 17 to 19. If you like, the hall and the heroes of faith of the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Of course, Isaac was the son of promise, that through him the nation of Israel would come. And the promises, covenant promises that God made with Abraham, renewed with Isaac and again with Jacob, and yet here he is challenged to kill his own son. Remarkable faith and believing that God would raise him up again. Because he said, we together, Isaac and I will return to you. So there was a tremendous challenge to be obedient, knowing that through Isaac and Jacob would come the nation of Israel. But he was challenged to put his son to death. Well, for Abraham, you see, he heard the promise of God. Go back to chapter 12 and chapter 15 for the covenant that God made with Abraham. He won't do it now. It's not necessary. It's based on a promise, and it's based on the truth of that promise. See, faith is never a leap in the dark. It's always based on evidence. Faith is never a leap in the dark. Yes, I know it's involved trust and believing, but it's never a leap in the dark. It's always based on evidence. Promise, in this case, covenant as well. Here was a promise from God that if need be, he would raise up Isaac. Of course, he didn't want human sacrifice. Of course not. God does something unusual in some cases based on the truth and promise of his word. Now, you can look back and maybe there are some areas in your life as believers where God made certain promises to you. It might have taken time for the fulfillment. Fulfilled they were. I'm sure you do. I can tell you a few later on. So we can look back on the event in believing as Jesus, our personal Savior. We took this by faith, but it's based on biblical evidence, isn't it? Looking at verse 8 of chapter 22 of Genesis with me, would you? Verse 8. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." God will provide himself. He did provide himself as a sacrifice and offering for our sin. He didn't need a ram when Jesus came. Jesus himself became the sacrifice and put to death for our sin. But that word in verse 8, God will provide. Well, we know that, of course, in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Jireh. It's certainly a name and a quality and part of God's own character and revelation to us. God will provide. It also means God will see to it. Well, of course, he did see to it. He had a substitute ram there. But it tested Abraham right to the very point. Interesting, that word provide or to see, God will see to it, God will provide, is the Hebrew word ra'ah, R-A. And it means the Lord will attend to it, which he did. The Lord will see to it, the Lord will provide. He will see to it. It's interesting, when we come down to verse 19, Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now that's something important. I want to go back to Exodus in just a moment. A little bit of a sidetrack, but it's an important one. The word Beersheba there in Hebrew means seven wells. And the root of Sheba, which is seven, and Beer meaning well, the root there means to complete, or in the Hebrew, to seven oneself. In other words, to make a promise on oath. Abraham did that. We go back in a moment to the previous chapter. When God made a promise to Abraham, he kept his word on an oath and by covenant. Not that he needs to swear on an oath. His character doesn't need it. But for our point of view and our understanding as humans, it was helpful. God made a promise on oath never to break it. We go back in a moment to chapter 21. And in chapter 21, let's just go back there, shall we? But just to make it sensible. In chapter 21, this again is meeting of Abimelech. In Genesis chapter 17, chapter 21, and we'll start at verse 25, we'll keep it down. Chapter 21, verse 25. Abraham reproved Abimelech, you can read why earlier, because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen, and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. This is it. And Abraham set seven ewes, ewe lambs of the flock, by themselves. Abimelech asked Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs, which you have set two by themselves?" And he said, "You'll take these seven ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well." Therefore he called the place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Abimelech rose with, we believe that. The point was, seven ewe lambs. Abraham wanted to make this covenant promise with Abimelech, and he did it on the oath of sevening himself. He sevened himself. He made an oath. And of course seven is a perfect number in scripture, isn't it? He sevened himself. He made a promise on oath. And God did exactly the same thing to Abraham. Now, would you go forward to Exodus chapter 6, and this is quite remarkable. When God wanted to deliver the Hebrews from Egypt, he made seven promises as well. Exodus chapter 6, let's read from verse 2 to 8. Exodus 6, verses 2 to 8. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, there's your link, as God Almighty of Shaddai. But by my name, Lord, which is Yahweh or Jehovah, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. May with Abraham, renew with Isaac and Jacob. Therefore say to the children of Israel, now notice this, there are seven I wills. God sevened himself on oath, made a covenant, unbreakable. I am the Lord, here's the first one, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, number one. I will rescue you from their bondage, number two. I will redeem you, number three, with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will, number four, take you as my people. And I will, number five, be your God, that you should know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will, number six, bring you into this land which I swore to give to Abraham, there's the oath, Isaac and Jacob. And I will, number seven, give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. God severed himself. God gave an unbreakable promise, on oath, if you like, covenant, unbreakable. And he did that with Abraham, where he said, I will provide. I will see to it. That's my responsibility, Abraham. And when Abraham was put to sleep by God in Genesis 15, and God walked through the covenants, Abraham was in a deep sleep, and God made the covenant. It was unconditional. Abraham was asleep. He didn't have to take part in it at all. He didn't even have to make any promises. It was an unconditional covenant that God made with Abraham and put him to sleep. And God walked through an oath, a promise, a covenant, and that he does for you and me. God will see to it. I'm the Lord who provides. It is my place to do it. And Abraham dwelt in Beersheba, the place of seven wells, the place of a covenant on oath. Amazing how the Holy Spirit led the writer here, Moses, to put in Beersheba here, the place of seven wells, the place of seven ewes, the place of seven I wills from God as well in Exodus 6. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. The Lord will do it. That's my responsibility. And it's a blessing to you and to me. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord who provides all that we need. But Abraham, as you know, left Beersheba. He stayed there for many days, having met Abimelech. He moved on to Mount Moriah, as we know in this particular incident. And after the dramatic incident on Mount Moriah, which also was named God will provide, not just the very name and quality and part of God's character. Let me just go back. I mentioned this at an earlier time when we looked at God's names. When you and your husband and your wife were married, you knew enough to want to marry them because you loved them, of course. But you didn't know much about them. At least not as much as you know now. It's the same thing though in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You trusted him as your Savior. Didn't know much about him. Trusted him because of who he is. You read it in the scriptures. But as you went on in the Christian pathway, knowing the Lord as your Savior, growing in his knowledge and likeness to him, in sanctification and holiness, so you began to know him better. So the Lord has done this. He has revealed his names. He's revealed his character so you can know him better. Not just the Old Testament. Think of the names of Jesus. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world, and so on. That's revealing who he is more, and you can get to know him better because you know about him, and you can therefore know him better. So the Lord may test us and challenge us as well. Very much so. But the Lord gives us your promises. He doesn't need just seven of them. But he did. He made a declaration. Abraham made that promise to Abimelech. Over the sevening himself, keeping an oath, keeping a promise, keeping a covenant, which he did. And the Lord does the same thing to us. An unbreakable promise. God cannot break his word. And God tested Abraham very deeply. God did provide himself a lamb. The capital L of John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was a lamb then. Sacrifice. He was our substitute. He was our great sin bearer, as you know well about that. God provided. And he still does. where that he provided the four of you to come here this evening. Wonderful to have you here. Many years ago, when I first became a believer, I read a missionary book. I think my memory is hazy about it, except one or two details, of a husband and wife who were missionaries. I think they were in Borneo. And they'd gone a few hundred miles away from the very center of that mission and where the hospital was, right inland, up the jungle, right out to meet the villagers of that area. And his wife became very, very ill. There's no way they could get back in time, because she lost her life through the illness, as severe as it was. So they prayed, "Lord, we can't do anything about this, but you can. Will you please, please provide a way whereby medical help can come to my wife, so very seriously ill?" The story goes in the book I read that a hurricane started right where the hospital and the base was and tore a path all the way through, right through to where the two missions were, and then stopped, so that medical aid could come actually through the clearing very quickly, within a few hours, and the missionary's wife was saved. Remarkable, isn't it? It really is. I don't know whether you've read a book, again, I read earlier in my Christian life, a book by Isabel Kuhn, I think it was, a missionary to the Far East. And the book was called Green Leaf in Drought. You may have read it. I think, if I remember rightly, correct, my memory might be hazy on this one. But again, there was a missionary couple with a very small baby. And they were, again, it was a remote village, really. And they were very short of milk for the baby. It's getting very short. And they said, "Lord, my baby needs milk. I don't know where it's going to come from, but you do." Very soon after that, they heard a noise outside their door where they were living. And there was a man who had a number of goats. And he said, "I normally sell my goat's milk, but I've got so much milk spare, would you like it?" What a marvelous answer to prayer. Like the hurricane for the people. Amazing, isn't it? I'd like to read a reference to that, Green Leaf and Drought, from Jeremiah 17. You needn't turn to it, I'll read it. Jeremiah 17. "Blessed be the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But her leaf shall be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding the fruit." Wonderful promise. The Lord will provide. He did. Isaiah 58:11. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul even in drought, and shall strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." Bit of a personal story. This past weekend, I should have been up at Tongham Christian Fellowship near Aldershot, 75 miles up. On Friday, I hurt my back quite unpleasantly, but it wasn't too severe. When it came to Saturday, I was in agony. I could hardly move. I certainly couldn't drive 75 miles. I had to ring up the elder there and say, "Look, I'm sorry, I can't come." I said, I just can't manage. I can't travel, I can't drive, I can't do anything. I could hardly sit down and stand up. Pain was so severe. That was Saturday afternoon. Sunday I was a little better, and by Monday I was all clear. Did the Lord prevent me from going? Yeah, I believe it. Because you see, the Lord not only creates our starts, he creates our stops. Not only our starts, but our stops. And I don't know why, I don't know what, I have no idea. I can believe by faith that somehow or other the Lord prevented me from going for some reason or other. Maybe an accident on the road, I don't know. But he would not let me go. And I trust him on that as well. Quite amazing that. I'm sure you have similar ones yourself. Oh, well, yeah, about one or two others, very serious road accidents as well. The Lord provided manna in the wilderness. He provided water from the rock to feed thousands, hundreds of thousands of Hebrews. Called on Cyrus, king of Persia, to give money for the Jews to rebuild their temple and send them home. As Isaiah prophesied nearly 150 years before. He wasn't a believer, but God used this secular king to fulfill God's purposes. And so he did. He released the Jewish people to go home and gave them money for the rebuilding of the temple, of course. And Isaiah prophesied that so many years before. And getting back to Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord has provided a sacrifice for your sin and mine. Jesus our substitute, Jesus our sin bearer, the Lamb of God. The Father provided his only son, but he didn't spare him. God did not spare his only son, but gave him up freely for us all. He saw to it, it's my responsibility,
provided himself.
Jehovah Jireh.
He is Jehovah Jireh. He's your Jehovah Jireh. Amen.
There's a poem I'd like to read to you, if I may. If I may, just for a moment, I can find it. You probably know of the hymn, of the poem that was written many years ago called The Weaver's Loom. Do you know it?
Yes.
You mind if I read it? It's very appropriate. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors he works steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are needful in the weaver's skillful hand, as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. A person by the name of Franklin wrote that. How appropriate. We have the dark sides of our lives. We have the glorious sunshine of our lives. But the Lord is the author of them all, as Jehovah Jireh. He knows. He loves. He cares. Nothing, the truth of the word, can be dimmed. He gives his very best to each one of us, for those who choose to walk with him. Romans 8:28 was read earlier. All things, the dark side, the bright side, work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides.